This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run, our weekly take on everything property related. There is the concept of green and sustainable home that is on the rise, with market research firm Grandview Research predicting that the global market for green building materials will reach $364 billion by 2022. However, it's not just the building materials that makes a green and sustainable home. A thoughtful design and architecture also plays a big role in ensuring that home gets to optimize the benefit of being eco-friendly, whilst maintaining great aesthetic design. However, the common perception of going green and sustainable remains, which is, are they an expensive lifestyle to adopt? Now, to answer these and other questions is architect Dr. Tan Lok Man, director of ArchiCenter Sdn Bhd. Dr. Tan, thank you for joining us on The Property Show.
Good morning, Sharon.
All right. Dr. Tan, for your doctoral studies, you pursued social and self-help housing and worked in most part of urban and rural Australia, including Uruguay, Argentina, as well as Brazil. How does this correlate with your interest in designing green, sustainable home?
I did my doctorate in self-help housing, as mentioned. Self-help housing is an alternative approach to all things. It's an enabling strategy, and basically it promotes doing for oneself what one is able. So from very early on, during study time, we sort of changed my whole mindset, moving away from the mainstream and moving more towards social activism. And I wrote a paper at the end of my doctorate. I wrote a paper for the Rio Summit. I didn't get to attend it because I graduated and I came back to Malaysia. But I wrote a paper for a book that was called EcoCities, and it was actually distributed in the Rio Summit, the summit to end all summits. And that was the summit where the whole thing about greenhouse gas and climate change started to be revealed to the whole world.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So let's get back into the subject of green and sustainable home. Now, what makes a home green and sustainable when it comes to design, and what are some of their characteristics?
I think in the tropical context, where Malaysia, we are located right in the tropics, I think energy efficiency and a cooler home comes to mind. Better indoor qualities. And lastly, access to facilities and public transport and amenities.
So I guess what I would like to find out is that what are some of the obvious features that I could identify with the naked eye when trying to search for an eco-friendly home?
The first thing I would do, I would always look for insulation in the roof. In the tropics, the majority of the heat gain that comes into a house comes through the roof. If it's a landed bungalow or semi-D, maybe 60 to 70% of the heat gain comes through the roof. If it's a terrace house, it's probably about 80% because your neighbors are already insulating your sides. So you've got very narrow front and back. So the greatest energy use in our homes today is for air conditioning. So the main thing is to keep the heat out of the house, insulate it by having large roofs and orientating in the right direction, north-south preferably, with less windows to the east and west. And then you will be able to reduce your energy costs and your cooling costs tremendously.
And this is the case, as you mentioned, landed houses and semi-Ds. Yeah. But how about condominiums and so forth?
For apartments and condominiums, if you choose it facing west or east, you are sort of sentenced to high electric bills for
because of for you're
your
facing
whole life.
Basically
yeah.
You're facing.
So try
the
and
heat.
Find apartments that are predominantly the living areas. Face north and south. And the other thing is you can also check out the glass. Now, the heat also comes through the wall and especially the glazed areas, which are glass. You can get low E or low emissivity glass, which allows daylight to come in but reduces some of the heat gain. You can get double glazed units or triple glazed units. This is still quite rare in Malaysia for apartments. But if you go to a lot of other countries that are more developed, you know, they don't have single glazed glass anymore. They just use DGU, which is double glazed. And some even use triple glazed units. Yeah.
So I guess those are some of the typical materials that the people use to construct an eco-friendly home. So for yourself, Dr. Tan, you are particular with the choice of steel that is being used to develop green home. Now, how is steel an important component in an eco-friendly home?
Interestingly, the steel industry or steel products in Malaysia, more than about 90% of it comes from recycled content. If you don't notice, you throw anything steel outside your house, and within a day it's been collected by some guy who recycles it. So steel has a very, very high recyclable content in it. And as well as that, it has a very good second or third life. Mm. That means a material doesn't just have a one life, like plastic, for example.
Right.
A lot of plastics, they have one life. After it's finished, people throw it out, and it goes into our waterways and drains into the oceans, and you know, fish eat it up. So, but steel, the moment it's dumped outside, it can be recycled, and our steel content, recyclable content of steel in Malaysia is generally quite high. So I started using steel because I needed a material to cover a huge roof. My house is a GBI platinum rated house.
Okay.
It's known in the industry as S11 house.
Okay.
We still get a lot of students coming through and groups of people coming to visit. So I have a huge roof to insulate what's below, which is our living spaces. And I actually use a metal deck to cover it and put in a lot of insulation. So I have 8 inches of rock wool insulation. So I started to look at steel a lot more when we started doing the Green Building Index for Malaysia.
I don't know if I have a misconception about steel, but my understanding with regards to steel is that it has always been a very good conductor. So could you just elaborate more in terms of how is it that a steel could help insulate a home?
Okay, steel by itself is a good conductor. It doesn't help to insulate the roof.
Hmm.
What it does is that it comes in many different colors, and for roofing, we prefer to use a light color, so that it reflects. Heat comes in from three ways. One is transfer from conductivity, then there's convection, and the other one is reflectivity. So by choosing a light-colored roof, you basically throw off some of the heat. But what you need to do underneath the metal roof to prevent the heat transferring through into the house by conductivity, you need to pack it up with rock wool or insulation, bulk insulation, and try and get some air space underneath so that whatever little heat that gets through this layer of insulation gets blown away and the heat is sort of neutralized. Yeah.
Besides steel, what are the alternatives that are currently sort of being used in a building that's, I guess, not eco-friendly?
There are many materials you can use to create a green home. It's not necessarily just steel.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, steel is just one of them. It's just that steel is interesting because it has a huge amount of recycled content. It has double, triple, four times life reusability. Other materials that people use quite often in that you see used in greenhouses are materials that are basically recycled. So you find people recycling bricks. So you find this new industrial look started with the cafes and you know now.
That's right.
With places like APW, it's got this totally recycled look, driven in some sense by style, but at the same time also by a certain logic that you should try to reuse materials and places and buildings. Other green materials would be materials that do not emit any volatile organic compounds or gases when it touches the UV light. And those apply to paints. If possible, try and use water-based paints. And we also now have paint that you can paint the outside of your house.
Right.
And it actually reflects some of the heat out to the extent of 3-degree differentials. Yeah. So not necessarily steel being the only material that is usable for green. It's a popular material because of its high recycled content and its ability to be reused.
Well, that's an interesting fact indeed. In the meantime, I've been speaking to architect Dr. Tan Lok Man, the director of Archi Centre Sdn Bhd. We'll have more on the property show after these messages, so stay with us on BFM 89.9. If you've just joined us, this is The Property Show. I'm Sharitz Abdullah, and I'm speaking to architect Dr. Tan Lok Man, the director of Akisentis in Jalan Berhad. Today, I speak to Dr. Tan on the rising trend of eco-friendly homes and what you need if you decide to have one. Now, there's also another misconception, is that the cost of steel is high. Is that the case?
I think when you look at cost comparisons, you must always ask higher than what.
Mm. Yeah.
If it's compared to higher than marble, then it would not be. But steel is generally a base material. So we use it for structure, we use it for cladding, we use it for finishes. It's used in multiple areas. Why I find that steel is got an interesting characteristic, which is steel is strong in tensile rather than in compression. So in a lot of our buildings, we build out of concrete and brickwork and so on. Those buildings are basically compressive. Steel is basically a tensile material, and its strength is should be exploited. Increasingly, we are building houses where the staircase is basically suspended from the roof down, and we find that instead of building a heavy concrete staircase going up to houses, we find it easier that you exploit steel to its max, and you actually hang the steel staircase down. Literally by its balustrades. And it's easier to finish. It's got huge amount of recycled content in it.
Sure.
And after, if the house gets demolished in 50, 100 years, the steel can be reused.
Okay, so I think that's looking very long term. But let's stay on this subject. It's because a lot of decision making boils down to the cost of building or when you want to purchase a home. So again, there's this perception that green and sustainable homes are expensive. Do you think this perception is true?
Well, last week we celebrated the 10th anniversary of Green Building Index in Malaysia. It's a green rating tool for buildings. Why buildings is that? Because buildings, we give up 50% of the green gases into the atmosphere. And that's why we tackled buildings. Mm. And after 10 years, we found out that cost is the additional cost for going green, this is actually a myth. So we have certified close to 500 buildings and 230 million square feet of certified green buildings in Malaysia after 10 years. And we find that the additional cost of going green is somewhere between 1% and 5%. Of course, if you want to go for platinum rated, which is a super energy efficient and cool house, it will cost a bit more, but we are finding that it's no more than 1% to 5%.
Okay.
Actually, the average is somewhere between 1% to 3%.
But is that the same case for residential homes or landed homes? Do you have to pay certain premium to own a eco-friendly home?
That is a myth. Mm. And we have 10 years of certified buildings and working through with professionals and the public as well. We have all the statistics to show that it's totally not true. There are a lot of things that goes into a house if you get it right from day one.
Mm.
Of course, if you're halfway through construction and you suddenly decide to insulate the roof while it's already on, then that will cost you a lot more. But if you plan from day one to get a green building or a more energy efficient building or a more environmentally friendly building, you start from the design, you orientate in the right direction, you choose the right glass for the walls where there are glazing, and you put a roof into it, a good roof and good insulation in the roof, it doesn't cost you that much more. But if you do it later, as a second thought, of course, it will be more expensive. So the statistics and the case studies we have totally debunked this whole myth that going green is more expensive.
Based on the trend these days, the current properties are on sale. Would you consider a lot of them have actually adopted the eco-friendly design?
Okay. Recently, we're just concluding the Kuala Lumpur Architecture Festival 2019. I was the director. So coming off that, we published a book called Recent Malaysian Architecture, showing the best works that architects have done in the past 10 years. And at the same time, we also celebrated 10 years of Green Building Index in Malaysia, started by PAM and ACM, consulting engineers. And interestingly, in the book about recent Malaysian architecture, we find this totally new trend. And the number of projects that are actually green, enormous number of them, more of them are green than not green.
Mm.
So it's something that has really caught on. And we don't know whether it's from GBI, but it's definitely from the awareness that has come into the market. That green actually, you know, at the conclusion, the book basically came to a conclusion that green is not a style. It's not a...
It's no longer a lifestyle.
Another fad that you should follow that right. will come and go. But basically, green is actually the right thing to do.
We can't argue when we speak about going green and sustainability. But again, it all boils down to that perception of cost, I guess some may still have. Is there a certain lifestyle that one needs to have? For example, earlier was where your house is facing, where your home is facing, so for all that. If you don't fall under that category, is it still necessary for you to consider shifting into a eco-friendly home?
My house has solar panels, so I can understand why people would not go in that direction. I put solar panels on my roof when they were very expensive, 10 years ago. I paid, in those days, it was like 22,000 a kilowatt peak. Today, you can get it for 7,000 a kilowatt peak. It's become so logical. It's become, you know, a no-brainer for, you know, and the payback period is generally much, much lower than when I did it. So one of the reasons why prices have come down and to debunk this whole myth that green is more expensive, of course, when you use a new product that is not, you know, mass produced or the market has no mass acceptability or demand for it, it's a bit more expensive. But once you remove all the subsidies, and solar panels came down because there was a crisis in Europe, the subprime crisis, and Germany removed all its subsidies for solar panels. And suddenly, the cost of solar panels came down tremendously.
Right.
4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And it finally came down to its actual price.
Yeah.
So going green, sometimes, you know, by government using subsidies to support petrol and water, you know, there's no such thing as free water.
Sure.
We are fooling ourselves. When you buy a bottle of water at the petrol station, it costs you even more than the petrol you're pumping into your car.
Mm.
And you don't realize it. You just drink it and you toss the plastic, one-time reused plastic bottle away, and you destroy the environment a bit more. But there's no such thing as free water. And by subsidizing these basic essentials, you're actually creating, in some sense, you know, a sort of a fake sort of comfort level. But if you take away all these subsidies and charge basic necessities as what they actually cost, then people realize that by going green, you've got no other option except to go green.
You're also careful with your level of consumption as well at the same
Correct.
Time, isn't
yeah,
it?
You'll be much more careful. You won't leave the tap on, you'll shower shorter periods.
Hopefully it would convince a lot of those who still have that preconceived idea that going green is expensive.
We have a lot of statistics in Green Building Index. The office is located in the PAM Centre. It's in Jalan Tanduk in Bangsa. We have information sessions where we tell people a bit more about green. In fact, the PAM Centre is a GBI Platinum rated building, and
sure.
its energy use is very, very low. If anyone needs any information, they can always come to PAM or to Green Building Index, and you can actually get all the raw data there to convince you that actually it doesn't cost you that much more. But the savings are enormous.
Sure. Okay, well, Dr. Tan, I have to ask. You're an architect, and I have this question whether or not there is a restriction when it comes to design of a home. For an example, if I would like my home to look like a Disney castle, can it
Don't
still
do
be?
It.
I know. I'm just saying, for an example, can those designs be green and sustainable?
If you start from step one, that you want a green building, any building can be made green.
Right.
Yeah. But don't do a Disney castle.
Sure.
We live in the tropics.
Okay, one final question, Dr. Tan. Now, I know that we've spoken a lot of the good things, a lot of the benefits when it comes to adopting eco-friendly lifestyle when it comes to purchasing a home. But based on your observation, what are some of the common challenges that homeowners face?
I think it's always, you know, if you're building a new house, it is the myth that it's more expensive.
Mm.
If you're buying an old house, I think it's not even told to people that it's green or, you know, and well, maybe the whole real estate industry needs a good kick in the butt to basically start to say how green that house actually is. Today in UK or even in Australia, if you buy a ready-made house or a second-hand house, it has to have an energy rating. It tells you how energy efficient the house is or how green that house is. I think Malaysia is still a far way from that, and we should start to promote it in you know, to the real estate industry, that even not just for new buildings, it actually applies a lot, because the existing stock makes up like 95%.
That's right.
So the resale, you know, you have to sort of start to put in there how energy efficient is it is.
Mm.
Because nowadays with tightening, you know, savings and money is important, household income, I think it's something that will start to make a big difference, and it will take our whole real estate industry into a totally different paradigm.
So yeah. I guess for a start, having a rating for the existing home, is that enough?
It will help a lot.
It would help a lot. It gives an idea to potential homeowners as to what is it that they need to do, and also give them the option of...
It's like buying a secondhand car.
Yeah. Just need to know what is it they're buying.
Yeah.
Okay, on that note, you've been listening to The Property Show. Dr. Tan, thank you so much for joining us on The Property Show today. Speaking to me is architect Dr. Tan Lokman, the director of ArchiCenter Sdn Bhd. Coming up next, we have the 10 a.m. News Bulletin, followed by Enterprise. So stay tuned on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.